This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
We've been preaching about all in the family, and we've just been talking about our families. Let me tell you something, folks. This song will say, there's an attack on the family. There's an attack on the family. The devil wants to destroy your family. You say, Pastor Benny, you don't know me. I don't, but I can promise you this. The devil wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy every family. Doesn't matter. It doesn't get easier. You say, well, after I've been married a long time, it gets easier. No, it doesn't. Now, you still got to work at it. Amen? You still got to work at it. You got to work at it. Look what the Bible says. Song of Solomon. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed the kids beside the shepherd's tents. Solomon said to his bride, the Shulamite, I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. I want to talk to you, this being Valentine's Day, that on Sunday, Valentine's fail. I want to talk to you about how to keep your Valentine for a lifetime. How to keep your Valentine for a lifetime. I was researching a little bit about Valentines, and of course there's different stories of how it originated. One story is about a priest. His name's Valentinus. Valentinus was a Christian priest, and he was helping Christians during the 3rd century with persecution. He was helping them to the extent that literally he was arrested, placed in prison. While Valentinus was in prison, there was a blind girl. She was actually the jailer's daughter. She would bring him food. Valentinus would get the food and they would talk a little bit. Long story short, they fell in love. The priest Valentinus and the blind girl fell in love. The story says that he prayed for her. He prayed for her to receive sight, and she received her sight. And they said to Valentinus, if you will denounce the faith, you can live. He said, no, I can't denounce the faith. So on the way to be executed, he took a card and he wrote it to the young lady. And this is what he wrote on the card. From your Valentine. From your Valentine. His name was Valentinus. That's why today we do these Valentine cards. It was because of a priest named Valentinus. Now, that story could be true, could not be totally true. But there's a story in the Bible that we know is true. It's the story about the wisest man who ever lived. His name was Solomon. Literally, he was the wisest man who ever lived, and he was the wealthiest man who ever lived. And the stories about Solomon and his very first marriage, this man knew something about marriage, that's all I'll say. He had 700 wives. He knew something about marriage. But this was his very first marriage. He married a lady from Shunem. That's in northern Israel. We call her Shulamite because she was from Shunem. Now here's the catcher. Solomon wrote, ladies and gentlemen, 1,005 songs. He was a songwriter. He wrote 1,005 songs. But God chose to canonize this song. And it literally is books of the Bible called the Song of Solomon. And what it is just the relationship between Solomon and his bride. They're just talking to each other. Next week, we're really going to get into it. We're going to find out they had some serious problems. So if you got some real problems in marriage, probably next Sunday's sermon will be the one for you. Because they later experienced some problems in their marriage. And by the way, we all will also. But it's just the dialogue between them. It's just the communication between them. You know what? I heard a story one time about an old farmer. And the farmer just gave up on marriage. He decided he wanted a divorce. And he goes down and sees the lawyer at the courthouse. He says, "I want to get a divorce." And the lawyer says to him, "Do you have grounds?" He said, "Yeah, got about 100 acres. He said, no. That's not what I'm talking about. Does either one of you have a grudge? He said, yeah. He said, that's where we parked the tractor. He said, no. That's a garage. That's not what I'm talking about. He said, has it got physical? Has it got physical? Do you beat her up? And he said, oh no. She gets up before I do. But then he said, my wife keeps saying, we can't communicate. We can't communicate. You know what was interesting? I researched and I found out that 80% of people that are having marital problems are having communication problems. They're having a problem communicating. They're having a problem connecting. 90% of marital counseling is just an attempt to restore communication. You know, it was interesting to learn this week that the average married couple, you and your husband, you and your wife, we spend 1 hour a week communicating. 1 hour a week on average, a couple spends communicating. But what was so interesting, if a man and woman's having an affair, they spend 10 hours a week communicating. Only 1 hour a week communicating for married couples, but 10 hours a week communicating if they're having an affair. Now, I'm going to share a message. It's going to seem so simple. But I'll promise you, if you will apply the simple principles that I'm going to preach today, it will revolutionize your home. If you will apply the simple principles and just learn from it. I don't have all the answers, but I've learned some things. I'm kind of like the guy that was 100 years old and had been married for 75 years. They said, "Wow, you've lived to be 100. 75 years of marriage. What do you attribute to your success?" He said, "Well, when my wife and I were young, we first got married, we made an agreement. If we got into a fuss, the one who was wrong would go outside and go for a walk." He said, "I've walked every day for 75 years. You said, "Pastor, what does Solomon and his Shulamite bride teach us? What are just some practical things that are not deep, not profound, but are just in the Bible that we can all learn and be better because of it?" Some simple things. Number one, be personal with praise. Be personal with praise. There's a mentor in my life. I've known him for over 30 years. I knew him before he had bookshelves full of books at Barnes & Noble. I knew him when he didn't have a book. His name's John Maxwell. John Maxwell taught me a principle when I was a young preacher. And the young principle is called the 30-second rule. This is the 30-second rule. The 30-second rule teaches that when you encounter somebody, within the first 30 seconds, you look for something to compliment them on. You look for something to compliment them on within the first 30 seconds. And I thought about this. I thought that's a wonderful principle. But what if we applied that to our marriages? Wouldn't it be better if we look to compliment one another? Now, this couple, Solomon and Shulamite, they understood it because they were personal with praise. There's a couple things that he did. And when I'm talking about him doing it, I just as much would say for her to do it. I'm not preaching something, this is what he ought to be doing. No, I'm preaching this is what we ought to be doing. It's just in the context of him perhaps doing it. But it should be transferable for the husband and the wife. Number one, tell her she's loved. Tell her she's loved. You say, Pastor, where do you get that? Well, look what verse 9 says. It says, I have compared thee, O my love, O my love. I studied the Song of Solomon. I found out something. He did that 9 times. Not just once. He did that 9 times. Over and over and over, he was telling his bride how much he loved her. You say, well, he already knows it. No, you need to tell him. She already knows it. No, you need to tell her. Because the Bible tells us that this is what we need to do. However you need to do it. There's a lot of ways you can do it. But I just encourage you to do it. There's a lot of ways you can do it. But I just encourage you to do it. This is something been going probably 20 years. Maybe it's longer than that. It's been 30 years. If I'm with Barbara, sometimes if we're in a crowd, I'll just squeeze her hand 3 times. That means I love you. And she squeezes it back twice. That means me too. I'm just saying, however you do it, however you do it, just tell him you love him. However you do it, just tell her you love her. It's so important. I used to go away and preach, and I'd write her notes. I'd hide them. She'd find them. She'd open up the refrigerator, and I'd write a note, and it would say, it's cold in here, but my heart burns for you. I'm just saying, Solomon said, you just tell her. You just tell her that she's loved. I love what that scripture says. Look what it says. I've compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses. Oh, gosh. I thought about that. I thought, that's not real smart. I don't know that you want to compare your wife to a horse or cow. Amen? But then I realized something. In 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 26 through 29, I found out something about Solomon. I found out that Solomon had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horses. 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horses. And I found out something, that the horse out front was the boss mare. The horse out front was the boss mare. It was the most important one. And I believe what Solomon was saying to her is, you're my boss mare. You're my boss mare. I mean, think about it, folks. If you probably treat her like a thoroughbred, you won't end up with a nag, amen? I mean, you're my boss mare. What'd he do? He said, I just want to tell her that she's loved. I just want to tell him that he's loved. But he said, I'll tell you something else. Not only do I want to tell her that she's loved, but I want to tell her she's lovely. I want to tell her that she's lovely. I want to tell him that he is so handsome. Now, you know, here's what I noticed. He alluded to what she had on. He alluded to what she had on, and we're gonna talk about it. And what a woman wears is important. I ran across this. It says, do you know that when a woman wears a leather dress, a man's heart beats quicker? His throat gets dry. He gets weak in the knees, and he begins to think irrational. Ever wonder why? Because it smells like a new truck. You know, a story's more believable if you can give some details. And I love what he said in verses 9 and 10. He said, I've compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels. Thy neck with chains of gold. What was he saying? He said, listen, horses carry royalty. And you've got to understand that that boss mare had jewels in its bridle. That boss mare, its mane was braided with feathers and jewels. What he was saying, honey, the jewelry doesn't make you. You make the jewelry. He said, I just want you to know something. I just want you to know that you're loved. I just want you to know that you're lovely. He said, I just want to be personal with praise. And what I would say to every couple, concentrate on being personal with praise. Here's what I want you to know. This world was created by words. God spoke this world into existence. I want you to know, words created this world, and words can create your world. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. What you say is so vitally important. What you say lifts people's spirits up, or what you don't say pulls people's spirits down. Words are powerful. Listening is so powerful. I remember years ago, Barbara and I were driving down the road. And she said, get this, guys. She said, would you like to stop and get something to drink? I said, no, I'm fine. And we drove for about 30 minutes more. And it didn't take too long for me to realize she wasn't fine. Amen? All I'm trying to say, words, listening, communication is vitally important. Not only what they say, but what they didn't say. All I'm saying, be personal with praise. But then there's a second thing. It's in the scripture. He said, go public with praise. Go public with praise. Look what verse 11 says. We will make the borders of gold with studs of silver. Now the we is believed was the daughters of Jerusalem. And that's not so important. But here's what is important. All I want you to see is this. It's believed they were friends of the Shulamite. But all I want you to see is this. We. The praise he had, other people heard it too. So here's what I want you to get. Be personal with praise, but go public with praise. And what I mean by go public with praise, brag on your mate to other people. Brag on your mate to other people. Some guy said, I've got all these women hitting on me. Okay? And some woman says, I've got all these men that are making advances at me. By the way, if you'll start bragging on your mate, all that will come to a stop. If you just start bragging on your mate, I'll promise you, you just cut that faucet off immediately. Amen? Well, I feel this. I don't know what I am, okay? But here's what I want you to see. When you go public with praise, here's the best news I know. It will get back to them. When you brag on your mate, it will get back to your mate. See, here's something we miss. It's wrong for me to be proud of me. Pride's wrong. Pride's wrong in my life. Pride's wrong in my life. But it's not wrong for me to be proud of you. See, it's wrong for me to be proud of me, but it's not wrong for me to be proud of you. And it's not wrong for you to be proud of your mate. I really believe this, folks. I believe if we would be prouder with one another, for one another, people wouldn't struggle so much with pride. I believe if we would let people know that we're proud of them, perhaps they wouldn't struggle so hard with being prideful about themselves. Winston Churchill was asked in a forum one time, if you could come back as any person, reincarnation, if it was true, and by the way, it's not true, but if you could come back as any other person, his wife was named Clementine, he called her Clemmy, who would you like to come back as? He said, I'd like to come back as Clemmy's next husband. That's why that lady's smiling. All I'm trying to say, what Solomon teaches, just be personal with praise. But then he said, just go public with praise. And then is the third thing he said, it's just something you got to be persistent with. You say, well, I'm a pastor, I'm not really into what you're preaching about today. You may not. But if you read verse 12 and 13, I'll just let you read it. If you read verse 12 and 13, I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to let you read it. It worked out pretty well for old Solomon. It worked out pretty well. Because what Solomon learned, he learned the importance of sweet words. He learned the importance of sweet words. John Gottman, underneath sweet words, said this. There was a book. It was called A Couple's Guide to Communication. John Gottman said this. What sets married couples apart from strangers is that married couples are far less polite with each other. What sets married couples apart from strangers, because married couples are far less polite with each other. Proverbs 16 and 24 says this, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Solomon said, we not only learn sweet words, but I'll tell you something else. We learn soft words. We learn soft words. Proverbs 15 and 1 says this, a soft answer turneth away wrath. A soft answer. You say, Pastor, when we have intensive fellowship, when we're going at it, what do you recommend? A soft answer. A soft answer turns away wrath. An old North Georgia boy was down Florida on spring break. Saw some real attractive girls. They were from Ivy League schools. And that old boy said to those girls, where do you all go to school? They said, Yale. He said, where do you all go to school? You know what I've learned? Not too much is accomplished when we yell. Not too much is accomplished when we yell. We focus on fixing the blame instead of fixing the problem. It's just been a simple message. It's just been a simple message, but this is what I've learned about relationships. We need to stroke more than we poke. We need to brag more than we nag. We need to cheer more than we jeer. I've just learned that the answer is not being a screamer. Being a screamer don't work. Being a steamer don't work. Pouting up don't work. Being a schemer and said, I'll get even, that don't work either. But a soft answer turns away wrath. Turns away wrath. I really believe that communication will change your relationship. I believe your words are so vitally important. So vitally important. I remember I was pastoring a church. Long before I came to Georgia, I was a young kid preacher. I'll give you this story and I'll close. I went to the funeral home one night. A man's wife had died. He said, after everybody leaves, I want you to stay around, preacher. I said, I'll be glad to. Everybody left, and he said, I want you to know something. He said, I'm dealing with a lot of regrets. I said, you are? He said, I'm dealing with a lot of regrets. He took me through some of those regrets. Some of those regrets. I listened closely. And then he said, I want to ask you something, preacher. I said, sure. He said, if you and I walk down to that casket right now, and I look my wife in the eye, and I do what I should have done when we were married, I tell her how much I love her. Can she hear me? He said, what does that good book say? Can she hear me? I said, sir, I don't know. But I'll tell you this. It's sure worth a try. It's sure worth a try. Friend, I don't want to be like that man. I don't want to be like that man. And I know you don't either. How to keep your Valentine for a lifetime? Change your words. You'll change your world. Ma'am, change your words. You'll change your world. Change your words toward him. Change your words toward her. And I'll promise you, you'll change your marriage. You'll change your relationship.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling, He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.